everyone, and welcome to another episode of Divination. Divination is a podcast and video show by Elegant Themes, the creator of Divi, the ultimate WordPress theme and visual page builder. So the goal of Divination is really simple. We want to provide you with the knowledge, insights, and supportive community that you need to be successful with WordPress and Divi. I'm your host, Nathan B. Weller, and as your host, it's my job to facilitate that success by having various guests from the Divi and wider WordPress community onto the show to share their stories and experiences with you. In this episode, I'll be talking with Tammy Heaton of Undeniable, which is the name of her design company. I invited Tammy on the show because, first and foremost, she's just a really passionate, active, and talented community member who's been on my kind of guest radar for a long time. But secondly, I saw her talk last summer and tell a story at WordCamp Orange County that I wanted everyone to hear. So this story, which is equal parts about failure and getting back up again, really struck a chord with me personally, and it also struck me as something that everybody in the Divi Nation could benefit from hearing. So we got into all of that when we caught up recently on Skype, and I'm excited to share it with you, so I'll just get right into it. Here is that conversation. Tammy, welcome to Divi Nation.
Hey, Nathan. Thank you. How's it going?
It's going pretty good. Kind of the end of my work day. What have you been up to today?
Just launching a client site, same as always.
Nice. You launch a lot of sites, or do you typically have like one site that you work on for a while and then launch, or is it like a lot of stuff that you kind of batch and launch together? How does your kind of typical routine work?
I usually do two sites a month, so I'm kind of usually working on two simultaneously.
Oh, nice. Very cool. What one thing I like to ask people, just as a way of getting to know them a little bit better and getting a peek inside their world is, you know, what's a day, what's an average day like in your world? What do you do as a Divi web designer and developer?
Oh, wow. Nobody's ever asked me that before. let's not talk about Facebook. I'm definitely not spending huge amounts of time on Facebook.
Definitely not sleeping until noon.
I'm definitely sleeping until noon. I'm one of the people, there's a few of us in the community, I know them all very well, who are the night owls, and we're the ones who work, you know, all night, and we're always up. I could name names, but I won't. But there, you know, there are a few of us who kind of do the night shift, so I do usually sleep until afternoon, generally speaking. But I'm working on sites, working in Divi.
Very cool. Well, one of the things that, well, first of all, let's introduce like a bit about, you know, your company and whatnot. I want to talk about your WordPress story next, but your name's Tammy Heaton. Where are you located at?
I am in St. Louis, Missouri.
And what is your company name?
My company is called Undeniable.
Undeniable.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. First I thought you said Undesignable and I was like, huh, interesting.
The curse.
It's Undesignable. So that's awesome. What kind of sparked that that name for you? What was the inspiration behind that?
Oh my gosh. So I had worked in New York for 12 years and all these agencies had these really cool kinds of names. So I wanted something that was sort of unusual. Mm. And the first company I had before this was actually a content marketing company. And it had a much more boring name. So I wanted just something kind of unusual. It wasn't the best SEO choice, obviously, but you know.
Well, one thing I always like to get, one part of people's story that I like to get for everybody is their WordPress story. Can you kind of tell us about how it was that you got into WordPress?
I can, in a limited way. I'm usually unable to talk about some of it. I was working for a celebrity at the time, actually. Oh, okay. It was 2007. And I was working for somebody who was a fairly well-known blogger, and she only liked working on WordPress. And so we actually built a custom interface because she didn't like the interface the way that it was. It was actually the first time I had worked on building an entire site in WordPress. My brain hadn't even gotten around the idea of WordPress as more than just a blog page. Hmm. So that was how I got started.
So before that, were you creating websites but not in WordPress?
Yes. I had worked, my background before I started doing this was mostly in the TV industry. And so I worked on some like proprietary CMS systems. And then I just, I started hand coding like way back. I'm very old. So yeah, I had a good 10 years in it before I started working with WordPress.
Oh, wow. So maybe you can tell us a bit about those earlier years of like, were you primarily working in web design as a hobby, or was it something that was actively part of your job?
I started out in journalism, and so I don't know.
Like, I'm getting this picture that your story is very multifaceted, because so far you've said, I started in show business, and then I started in journalism, and I got web design along the way and development. So maybe you can kind of take us through some of your just your sort of narrative there, like what brought you from one to the other. You don't have to go into a lot of detail, but like it'd be interesting to kind of find your path or define your path a little bit. By example, I can kind of tell you, I mean, I in high school, I took half college courses, half high school at the same time for 2 years. And so when I left, I had an associate's in communications, and a lot of that was multimedia stuff. So I went and worked for a film and television studio as well. Nice. And did film and TV for a few years. When I got done with that, the part that was most fascinating to me was working on the web. And so I thought, well, I'll take maybe some of that video stuff will come back into play later. Here we are. But for the most part, I'm going to go learn something else. I'm going to go learn the web because I think that's kind of where my life is going to be. So I did that. And then slowly that turned into blogging, which turned into content strategy, which turned into running content for a company, and then boom, back in video. So it all kind of came for me full circle. And I'm always curious when people say they have multiple, what I like to think of as like career vectors, like paths through the professional world that seem at odds, how those things are actually joined together in that one person. So maybe you can kind of illuminate that for us a little bit as far as your own experiences are concerned.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it seems like a very logical progression. For the most part, I started out in journalism. So I had a background in publication design, which is very much like web design in that it's arranging things on pages.
Mm. Yeah,
totally. But I went to New York to be a magazine journalist, actually, and I totally fell into the web. I couldn't find a job, so I started answering questions about the crossword puzzle at the New York Times. And so that was my first web job. It was very strange. I answered the same three questions over and over again for 6 months. And then I started to go, okay, there's this like web thing going on. And this is pretty cool. And maybe I want to do this. What do I want to do with this? And I had just gotten a TV for the first time in, you know, since before college. And I was watching the Sci-Fi Channel endlessly. And I was like, I really think I want to work at the Sci-Fi Channel. Oh, and that week they posted a job. And I was like, that's my job. So I went in there and I started, you know, I did some editorial stuff, but then I got my hands in code. I was working with insanely talented designers there who taught me a lot. And so, you know, I kind of went through that job. And then from there, I went into more production oriented stuff, more design stuff, more coding. And then I kind of eventually moved into project management. I moved through tons, you know, TV is a small community and people move a lot. So I went through a lot of TV channels in a fairly short number of years.
It's funny too. I have a lot of friends who went the TV route instead of the web route, and it's so funny how like you get a job is one thing and all of a sudden you're doing something that seems completely different. You go from run extension cords to project management, but it's all much more closely connected as a community, which makes all the difference. You know, it's like they would much rather hire the guy who got them or the girl who got them coffee yesterday for something important than someone they've never met who might have seemingly more qualifications. Just kind of interesting how that works. It's very relationship.
And I mean, that was the great thing about it to me. Working in that industry, you get to be very, especially when you work at a smaller channel. When you work at a really big channel, you do kind of do the same job. Yeah. But when you work at a small channel, I worked at Nicktoons for a while. And in a small channel like that, you get to do kind of everything,
you know,
because it's like all hands on deck and you're just doing a bunch of different stuff. And that's always appealed to me, you know, doing different things every day, which is kind of why I like what I do now, because I get to do different things every day. It never gets boring.
Yeah, no, I totally get what you mean. I mean, I love the fact that, and you know, my job, which is very much related to yours, every given day seems to be something kind of new. If I'm not building a website for content, like tutorials and stuff, I'm creating videos or I'm doing interviews and meeting people or going, it just, the multifaceted daily routine seems to be something that attracts a certain type. And I found a lot of those here in the Divi community of people who are just like, you know, I just sometimes need to wake up and scratch that itch of whatever's fascinating that day. And usually I can find that in design, which I think is cool.
Yeah, definitely.
So the topic of this episode, if it can be said to have one underlying topic, is something that I thought about, and I thought of you right away because you told a story at the WordCamp in Orange County that really resonated with me. And among other things, one of the themes of it was bouncing back from a failure. And I know I've had experiences in my life where I've really bitten the dust hard career-wise or just in a season and felt like, well, that's that. I don't know how it's going to come back from that. And I think particularly in the freelance world or in the web design world where people kind of tend to be alone a lot. They tend to be in their own world. That voice that says you failed, stay down, can seem much stronger than when you have, you know, an office that you go to with friends who can go, hey, you look down today, or you've looked down for a week. What's up? You know, you know, in our world, you can be down and nobody knows at all ever. And you have to kind of fight that battle or reach out to somebody. And so I thought it'd be cool if as a podcast, we could start among, you know, failure being maybe the first topic that we cover, but we could maybe start tackling some of these life themes that happen within our community and have people speak to those. And so when I heard your story in Orange County, I thought, you know, I got to have Tammy on the show at some point to talk about that. So if you would, in whatever way or whatever starting point you think is most appropriate, kind of tell that part of your story from the WordCamp Orange County, the failure that you experienced and your journey bouncing back from that, if you would.
Okay. Well, the talk that I gave at NOC was basically about the worst. I'm going to go with the worst project I've ever had. I was like, maybe the second worst. No, definitely the worst. And it was, I mean, it was the first year of my, I think it was the end of the first year of this agency. And I landed a really big client on a really big project with a really big entertainment property. And I got to hire this amazing team of former TV people that I knew. And I was super excited about it. And it went worse than anything has ever gone in my entire life.
Oh, no.
And, you know, oh my gosh. The project manager and I didn't get along first and foremost, which it's fairly rare I find that that happens. But occasionally two people just clash really bad.
Yeah.
And we didn't get along, and they weren't really prepared for the, oh my gosh, how do I even say it? Just the enormous difficulty of working with a very large corporate brand and what their standards are like in terms of how much they want to control what you're doing. Mm. You know, when you're working on a big property, it was a very big movie franchise. And so they wanted a hand in everything, and their team wasn't really ready for that and how much that was going to slow everything down. I had some problems on my team that also kind of happened that made things more difficult. Mm-hmm. And the whole project just kind of fell into complete disarray after about 3 months. It was pretty ugly.
So without getting too much into the weeds on the actual details of the project that went awry, we can just say the project went thoroughly awry. How did it end? I mean, what was the moment where you're like, oh my God, it's over now, you know?
They had made some really hard demands from us. I mean, we were coming up on there was a separation point midway where we had agreed that if it wasn't working for any reason, mm-hmm. it was a 6-month project originally. We did the website build, we did social media, we were doing content marketing. Mm-hmm. It was sort of like a full campaign kind of situation. And so because of that, we had decided that we could, you know, if it wasn't working halfway through, we could separate. And we were coming up to that point, and I was like, oh, man, I think that it's probably going to happen. Because the other thing that had happened is I had been letting the project manager sort of batter me repeatedly, you know, and I was dragging through the whole thing. And I started pushing back because I was like, I can't do this. She had no respect for me. I had no respect for myself. Mm. And I started pushing back and saying, okay, we can't do this.
Yeah, yeah.
And they didn't like that. And I was like, okay, I'm going to end up with a team that's going to be unemployed for Christmas. And that's how this is going to go. And one day she pushed me too hard and I called her boss and yelled. And that was pretty much the end of it.
So you had this messy ending with the big client, probably... Like you said, there's more consequences than just, oops, there goes a client. It was, I'm assuming, all you were doing, all that your entire team was doing. So in a big sense, I can imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong, but to you, this was sort of like, my company just failed. I failed relationships. I failed my team. I failed myself. What did you do in the time that from that moment of realization to when you feel like you got back on your feet? What was that transition period like?
I think it ended maybe last week. you know, at first I was just shell shocked. Mm-hmm. I saw it coming and I desperately wanted to avoid it, but I was just shell shocked. And I mean, it's hard because I felt like a huge failure, and I am the least resilient human being on the planet, pretty much. But I really started to, and I hadn't really realized that. I didn't think of myself that way. And I suddenly started to think a lot about the topic of failure, actually. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the thing that they say in entrepreneurship is like, they say, what, fail fast and fail often, often, fail fast. And I heard that one day and I was like, okay, wait, so this isn't actually the end of my life. This is just like a thing that happened and it went really badly. And, you know, one of the truths of the universe, I think, having gone through a couple of other projects that were pretty bad over the course of, you know, the entirety of my career, is that those are the moments that you learn the most. Mm-hmm. Like if everything goes really well all the time, you don't necessarily learn.
Well, so what were some of those lessons that you pulled out of that specific, you know, were there changes you made that have kind of protected you from future events like that?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, how do I say this? You can't be nice. Like, clients aren't your friend. And that was a big realization. I mean, clients are often actually our friends as it works. But you know, there's an issue of boundaries. And I had a major realization about myself and boundaries that was, you know, not just work, but a very personal sort of realization that I'm not a person who's very good at boundaries. And I'm not good at pushing back. And I get really... you know, not good when people challenge those boundaries. And so,
I mean, I think a lot of people struggle with that. Yeah. I think a lot of people struggle with boundaries and, you know, especially when, you know, your primary goal is I got to get that next invoice filled because I got to pay my bills. And if other people are working for you, then you're like, I'm responsible for getting them paid. And it's really the pressure, the pressure dictates that you just say, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. It'll get done. Regardless of what that means for your life, for your well-being, for your psyche, whatever. And I think, you know, the idea or the concept of safeguarding yourself against that unhealthy unbalance with healthy boundaries is something that's a, you know, our whole community could probably stand to think about. Definitely.
And I think that comes up in the groups over and over again.
Good,
you know, how do I deal with this situation? People are like, oh, how do I deal with this? The client wants this. And it seems unnatural in that state to be like, you just say no.
I do see those questions all the time. Yeah. And it's funny to me to notice that, you know, different people will have drastically different boundaries than someone else. And I think it's cool that when a group as large or in a community as large as this one, that people can sort of find others who have the same sort of boundaries as them. So no one ever feels like, well, here's my boundary, but why do I feel so weird that nobody else has that boundary? Like, I think it's okay, especially when you are your business, to be like, hey, this business in large part is dependent on what I can and I cannot personally handle. So, you know, unless it's completely detrimental to my business, this is how we're going to do things, and being cool with that, you know?
Yep. Absolutely agreed. I have some role models in the group. I have one in particular who's just like such a badass. And sometimes I just ask myself, like, what would she do? Because she just doesn't take any guff from anybody. And I'm like, that's what I got to channel. Like, you know, that's the way you got to be.
So what are some of these other lessons? So boundaries sounds incredibly useful, and like it's been it was probably central to getting things going again. What are some other lessons that came out of that experience?
I mean, just the notion of doing things by the book is a big one, which is kind of the same, but kind of different. Just like formalized project management is what I'm talking about, really. Like formalized project management is really important. Not breaking those rules. Like every rule of project management exists for a reason, and somebody actually put thought into it. And doing things sort of differently than that very rarely serves you well. And that was, you know, a big takeaway for me. And just, I don't know, generally, I just honestly, from a personal standpoint, I just sort of, without sounding too hippy-dippy about it, I just kind of self-evaluated at a very deep level for a long time after that. Because it kind of occurred to me that the more whole you are as a person, the better your business will run, and sort of the more, you know, messed up you are about this and that, the more it can really affect what you're doing in a really negative way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it makes perfect sense to me to think of it like that, particularly as a freelancer or a small agency. I mean, your business is an extension of yourself in so many ways.
It
I mean,
is.
Legally, it's not necessarily, and maybe as a brand, it's not 100% you, but what goes into it is all you. And so it only goes to follow that you need to be true to that, which I think is an important message.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, it sounds a little crazy, and I've advised some people on this, and people always give me like a kind of an eyebrow when I say it, but I'm like, if there's something that you're not dealing with very well, like go see a therapist.
Yeah.
Figure out why you're doing that. If it's something, you know, you have to really, that was a big takeaway for me also. At first, I really wanted to be like, okay, the client screwed this up. This person on my team screwed this up. I did everything I could to hold it together, and everybody screwed up, and there was just nothing I could do. And you really have to kind of like pull it back and reflect on it, especially when you're working on smaller projects and they cycle out, you know, every month. Mm-hmm. If you're kind of having the same issues every time, you need to stop and take a look at yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you have to really own the way that you're doing things and look at that. And if there's some, like, you know, if you have boundary issues, if you have like anger issues, I don't know, like there's sort of a gamut of things that could go wrong. If you have interpersonal communication issues, you know, you really kind of need to take that apart and look at it and figure out why and where it came from and how to not do it.
Right. Understand that the problem might be you.
Yeah. I mean, especially like if you have a blowout on one project once and you're like, wow, didn't see that coming, that, you know, that happens.
Yeah.
Pick yourself back up. That was a big lesson, resiliency. Pick yourself back up.
Yeah.
It is not the end of the world.
Totally.
But if it keeps happening, like look inward, because it's probably something you're doing and you can't just blame other people for that.
So you said that, you know, you recommend, you know, seeing a therapist for that kind of stuff to help you see, to have someone whose job it is or whose, you know, specialty it is to help pull, you know, pull your gaze back a little bit and kind of turn it in on yourself. Are there other things that you think can help people with, I guess, what we could call, you know, self-realization, like, or self-examination aside from that?
Oh gosh, that's really hard. I mean, I'm a big fan of meditation, but I know that's not for everybody.
Sure.
But I do, you know, I think that that's something that's had an effect on my business. You can kind of go away and clear your head, and suddenly answers to things will come to you. I think journaling,
this
is so hippy dippy, but
no, it's all, it sounds good
really
to
important.
Me.
You know, to really, I mean, there's kind of two things that I do in that realm, which one is just like kind of stream of consciousness, getting things out, thinking about life. One is just, you know, list making and goals and being very concrete about what it is that you want to do and where you want to get, and making sure that you're driving your own car, that you're the one who's actually pushing things forward, and it's all going in the direction you want in like every realm, both in terms of sort of concrete goals, like I want to have X number of clients next year, I want to make X amount of money, but also in terms of, you know, just how things are working and if you have a team and they're happy, and I don't know, like all the interpersonal bits of running a business. There's
sure,
a lot of, you know, we're people working with people.
Yeah. I like the, what you said about make sure that you're the one driving your own car. I think, you know, when I think of that idea, I think of, you know, the fact that the alternative is other people or other forces are pushing your buttons, and that's actually pushing you through life instead of you being self-directed based on like your awareness of your own failings or your awareness of your own shortcomings or tendencies that are not what you want, but happen nonetheless until you like figure them out or work on them.
Yeah. And I think especially when you're just starting out, it's, you know, kind of like we were talking about earlier, it's harder because you're just reactive to what's going on, but you know, to kind of stop and keep saying, okay, what is it I actually want? Mm-hmm. You know, how do I want this to happen? How do I want to feel? Like, how do I want to be every day? Do I feel like I'm achieving those goals? And to kind of continually look at that, you know, I don't think any of us want to end up in a place where we're like, you know, 2 years down the road and going, okay, what is this business I've built? And like, why am I just as stressed out as I was when I had a day job and that kind of thing, you know?
Absolutely. And that's, I mean, that's such a great point. Cause I mean, I think that happens. There's a narrative that within the freelance world that, you know, freelancing is freedom from the 9 to 5. It's freedom from the corporate world. It's freedom from this. It's freedom from bosses, whatever. And so people have this idea that when they break out on their own, that there's going to be, you know, nothing that they don't like about it. And so to find out that there is that, but the only real difference is that now you're the one who has the ability to change the things that you probably didn't have the ability to change in your old job. So like, really, it's just getting more responsibility, but also having the ability to change things if you want them to change. So it doesn't just happen, I guess, is what I'm getting
at. Yeah, and not just like, can you change, but you're the only one who can.
Yeah, you're the only one who's going to do it. If it's going to happen, you're going to do it. Yeah.
It's your, you got to drive the car. Like, you, it's yours. It's yours to do. Definitely.
Well, that is odd. I want to try to come to some sort of, sort of final thought here, which is sort of a crystallization, I guess, of, you know, where the conversations come. So you see people talk, I'm sure, in the Facebook groups and just online in general from our community about different things that they're going through. Let's just imagine for a second that someone just posted a question about, you know, what do? I just failed. What would your first steps be for someone who just had a huge failure in their freelance or in their digital agency life? And they want to get back on the right path.
Well, I mean, first I would say if you need to go and like sit in a corner, do that for, you know, a few days. If that's what you need to do, go do it. It's fine. Like, get through that little grieving process, but don't dwell on it. Like, really, that's, you know, failure is, I think it's really important to reframe failure, and it's not really failure. It's a way of looking at setbacks and resilience. You know, failure is so final. It's like a very final sort of way of looking at things. And really it's one mistake. It's one mistake that happened, and, you know, look at it, understand it, learn from it, you know, see where things went wrong, be really honest with yourself, and then just, you know, vow that you're not going to do that again.
And keep going forward.
And exactly. Keep going ahead. What you got to do.
Fantastic. Well, we're hitting our half hour mark approximately, and I like to wrap up around this point. I think that's a great note to end on. Tammy, thank you so much for coming on Divi Nation. We'll have to have you back for some more stuff.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was super fun.
Well, that's all for this episode of Divi Nation. As always, I just want to give another big thank you to our guest, Tammy Heaton, for coming on the show. If you have any questions about the stuff that we talked about in this episode, feel free to leave them in the comments section on the Elegant Themes blog. I've made sure that Tammy is aware of the episode going live, and I'm sure that she'll be more than happy to drop by and answer any questions that she can. Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and I look forward to seeing you around the community. As always, I'll be back right here next week with another brand new episode of Divi Nation.